Cause daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't born and raised in no ghetto. Just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Well, I'm out to find me a wealthy woman in a line of work that don't take no diploma. I ain't got much to lose, but got a lot to gain. Well, some might call me a good time fella. I ain't black and I ain't a yellow, just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Here, I don't want no handout living and don't want a part of anything they're giving. I'm proud and white and I got a song to sing. Well, I've said a few things and I'll admit it. If you want to get ahead, you got to hump and get it. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Hump and get it now. I like guitars and I like a fiddle, and that's the kind of soul it takes to fan my flame. Well, I'm a blue-eyed Billy, kind of frail and ruddy, so I'll have to work to be somebody. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. I don't want no handout living and don't want a part of anything they're giving. I'm proud and white and I got a song to sing. Well, I've said a few things and I'll admit it. If you want to get ahead, you got to hump and get it. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and all that good jazz. Hope you guys are doing well this Saturday night. Right? Isn't it Saturday night, kind of? Saturday night, Sunday morning, depending on where you are on the planet. I guess there aren't really a whole lot of places on the planet there where it's still Saturday night, but I don't know. I guess time is relative, right? According to Einstein, whose theories are being disproven according to mainstream media in recent reports. I don't know what to think. So I had this whole thing planned out for tonight. I had this episode that it was going to be another one of those very special episodes. We were going to go over some 1980s sitcom propaganda, but I decided to do something a little bit different. We'll save that for next time, specifically because I said something that, I mean, if you were on my Twitter, you probably saw my mini spurg out. I was just, man, I'm telling you, there's something especially irritating about how timid and ineffectual my people are, in to a large degree. And you can't say it's not true, and you can't say it's not the majority, because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be in trouble. We wouldn't be in trouble. You know, if sticking up for ourselves kind of just came naturally, wouldn't be a problem, right? There'd be no problems at all. But we don't. We don't. Everyone's so fucking afraid of just saying what they mean. Everyone's trying to be optical and trying to use, well, they're just being pussies. And so they convince themselves they're using 4D chess. Oh, no, you see, it's persuasion. Look, there is such a thing as salesmanship. There is such a thing as persuasion. Don't get me wrong. You don't want to sound like the crazy person standing on a street corner screaming about the end of the world. But if you're being dishonest about what you want and what your goals are and what your aims are, I don't mean with your enemy, I mean with your own people, the people that you want on your side. If you're lying to them about what you want, don't be pissed off when you don't get it. Don't come crying to me, because when is everyone going to wake up? Well, I don't know. When are you going to fucking wake up, dipshit? So let me give you some context before I get too mad. All I did was I made the observation on Twitter that if you are unable to say, I don't remember the exact wording, it doesn't really matter. If you're unable to say white genocide for whatever reason, then you're part of it. You're in on it. Simple as that. Stand by that 100%. Didn't think it'd be too controversial among the people that follow me on Twitter. Turns out I was wrong. No. Instead, I got a lot of people that agreed, but there were people that were like, oh, that's just, you know, we can't say that. You can't say white genocide. You have to massage it. The fuck is wrong with you people? At what point can you actually say what the problem is? What is this fucking cowardice when it comes to actually just saying, hey, look, there is clearly an anti-white agenda. It's targeted at whites. It's what it is. It's worldwide. It's throughout the entire modern world. It's leading to lots of violent deaths for white people randomly. It's leading to the displacement in positions of power, in income, which is pretty much the same thing. We are becoming enemies in our own lands, and in some places, minorities in our own lands. And on top of that, it's cool in pop culture to hate us. There's not a single institution that's standing in the way of this. And the vast majority of us are either too fucking stupid to know that it's even happening, too scared to admit it, or are just completely in denial. And all of this pussyfooting around the subject, acting like it's not happening, trying to think of a fancy, gentler way of framing it. It's pathetic, and it's exactly why we're in this position now. It's because for fucking decades, white Americans tried to think of everything they possibly could think of to find alternative ways of expressing what they really felt, trying to explain their fear of immigration as purely economic or purely, oh, they're not assimilating. Or, you know, just trying to find some fancy mental gymnastic way of saying, look, this just isn't good for my people. And I care about my people. So I oppose this because I want this land to be for my people and to be focused on the interest of my people. But no, they were bending over backwards to say anything, everything they possibly could, both sides. Going back and forth. And what was the big dick measuring contest between the right and the left for the last for fucking ever many years? Well, they're the real racists. No, they're the real racists. Actually, they're the real racists. Actually, Lincoln was a Republican. Lincoln freed the slaves. The Democrats were the party of the KKK. Oh, actually, the Republicans are racist because, you know, they're the party of Wall Street and they're always Jesus fucking Christ, you sniveling little faggots. It's fucking disgusting. It's disgusting to see. Look, here's this 100% illustrates why we're fucked. All right, I'm gonna show you two clips. Both white people. One from Team Blue, and one from Team Red. And they sound exactly the same.
But America. But America is unique of all nations in the world. We're the only nation organized based on an idea.
I have loyalty to ideas. And of course I love the Grand Canyon, I love the Rocky Mountains, and I love Boston, and I love Chicago. But if all that disappeared and all I had was ideas, and we were on an island, that's America, that's Israel.
Every other nation you can define by their ethnicity, their geography, their religion, except America. America is born out of an idea.
And that's what people have to realize, that America is just a placeholder for timeless ideas.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, including life, liberty, etc.
If you fall too in love with, you know, oh, the specific place and all this, that's, you know, that's not what it is.
It's not what it is. It's just an idea. It's just an idea. And that idea is maximizing profits. When you look at a cattle ranch, it's not about the cattle that are on it, it's about the ranch. We could swap out, we could slaughter every last one of the fucking cattle and import all new cattle. It's still the same cattle ranch. And in fact, it might be better because it'll make more profit. The cattle have no say. The cattle are essentially irrelevant. Aside from the profits they make for the farmers. That's the only thing that matters when it comes to the cattle. That's it. The happiness of the cattle, irrelevant. It matters how much, how rich can these cattle make me? Oh, you mean these cattle will make me richer? This breed? Bring them on in. They're telling you America is literally a plantation. It's not a homeland. It's not a nation. And you're playing along. You're playing along. Waving your flag for either Team Red or Team Blue. while you become irrelevant. Because you've ceased to be profitable. I mean, look. I played this at the end of, I think, my last stream. But in case you missed it, this is not an exaggeration. This is exactly I fucking hate the way that they organize files here. You can't do. No, hang on a sec. I'm a little worked up. We got a lot more to talk about here. There we go. Here we are.
Look, to be totally honest, if things are so bad, as you say, with the white working class, don't you want to get new Americans in who aren't going to be? I'm serious. You can make a case that this is going on too long and this is too crazy, probably, and I hope this thing isn't being, like, you know, videotaped or ever shown anywhere. Whatever tiny, pathetic future I have is going to be totally collapsed. You can make a case that America has been great because every I think John Adams said this at the beginning, right? Basically, if you're in a free society, a capitalist thriving society, after 2, 3, 4 generations of hard work, everyone becomes kind of decadent, lazy, spoiled, whatever. And then luckily, you have these waves of people coming in from Italy and Ireland and Russia and now Mexico who really want to work hard and really want to succeed and really want their kids to live better lives than them and aren't sort of clipping coupons or hoping that they can hang on. And meanwhile, you know, we grew up as spoiled kids and so forth. So in that respect, I don't know why this moment is that different from the early 20th century or the mid-19th century.
Somebody else a chance to ask a question at this point.
They're telling you what they're doing. Why can't you just say it? Why can't you just say white genocide? Why can't you say it? What are you afraid of? What social costs are you talking about? This insanity that at what point, you know, people always ask, when will people wake up? When are people going to wake up? And I'll tell you when they'll wake up. Here's a big thing that you got to understand. Most people, including white people, are fucking retarded. And look, if the ruling class has anything right, it's that they know, and here's the big difference between how people like they think and people like us think. They know that people are fucking retarded and need to be led around. They need to be led around. They need to be. The cattle need to be corralled. The cattle need to be herded. They do. That's just a fact. You're never going to wake up the NPCs. There's never going to be this time where all the NPCs, you know, short circuit and be like, oh my God. Everything makes sense now. Programming, losing control of mind. That's never going to fucking happen. It's never going to fucking happen. Ever. The NPC, there's never going to be an NPC uprising. Ever. The NPCs are always going to react to stimuli. Like mindless fucking drones, because guess what? That's what they are. And I mean the majority of white people, mindless fucking drones. You're never going to red pill the NPCs. You're never going to red pill the normies. They're never going to just see it magically your way. You have to lead them. And you have to use the exact same fucking tools that the people who are currently in charge are using. Why? Because they work. That's why they're using them. Doesn't matter how distasteful you find it. That's what works. That's what always has worked. What have we talked about? How women will go with who they perceive the winner to be, right? Well, as the population has become more feminized, that describes most white people. Well, just most people, but that doesn't, you know, white people are not excluded from that. Most people. And most white people. They go with who they perceive the strong or the winners to be. If they can't beat them, join them, right? They don't perceive you as the winners. They're not afraid of you. You don't have any carrots and you don't have any sticks. And the carrots and sticks you have access to, you're afraid to fucking use. You're worried about the social costs of mentioning white genocide instead of thinking about the social costs you impose on people who don't mention white genocide. When BLM was rioting and burning down fucking cities, were they wringing their hands somewhere going, well, I don't know, what are the social costs of this? This might not be optical. Nah. And it's funny because the retards on the right watched these cities burning, and what were they saying? Oh, this is going to red pill the normies. This is going to do it, right? This is going to wake up the NPCs to the danger, right? Right? Right, guys? Right? Yeah, that didn't happen. They fundamentally misunderstand power. They don't understand that was the black population in a demonstration of power. A successful one, by the way. They got billions of dollars for it. Billions! With a B. Every organization under the sun was shelling out fucking money like it was terrified. No one's afraid of you. Who'd be afraid of someone that's too much of a fucking pussy To even say what's wrong? It reminds me of, it's like that. There's like a kid who's getting picked on, right, by a bully, and instead of, and because the kid's non-confrontational, when the bully walks up and the bully says, you know, give me your lunch money, instead of the kid saying fuck you, it's my lunch money, I'll fucking fight you, try to take my fucking lunch money, he's like, well, you know, he starts trying to reason with the bully, right? Well, I don't want to give you the lunch money because then I wouldn't have any lunch money, and then I wouldn't get all my vitamins. And does that sound like that's a strategy that's going to work? Because that's what you're doing. You think the bully gives a fuck about your nutrition? cowardly fucking faggots. And so the other strategy, right, of these cowardly people, they're so afraid to even just say what the problem is, to just confront the problem and say, no, you're trying to steal my lunch money. Fuck you. I'll fight you before I give you my fucking lunch money, you fucking asshole. Because you're too afraid to even say that. And just like that kid getting bullied, you're hoping that like some magical Superman will come and intervene and save you, right? And you stink with such desperation, right? You're just fucking slathered with fucking desperation juice. The politicians, they can smell it on you. They can smell it on you. And they take advantage of that. They know that if they even kind of, sort of throw you a bone, like a little bit, you are so desperate to believe that someone stronger than you is on your side and is going to step in and save you from the bad guys. The bad men. That you'll let your imagination go wild. Like, the perfect example is Trump, right? How often did we hear when Trump would plain as day say something completely, completely out of step with what everyone on the right wanted? Oh, it was 4D chess, wasn't it? Oh, no, see, that's his plan, see? He has to say that. That was my favorite. He has to say that. He has to lie. What he really means is whatever this thing is that I've imagined that he means. And that would make perfect sense because you're too much of a pussy to say what you mean. So, of course, it would make sense that your hero would also be that much of a pussy. How'd that work out for you? How did trusting the plan pan out? Remember Trump saying that I want people to come into this country in the largest numbers ever. Oh, he didn't really mean that. It's 4D chess. He has like some crazy plan that I need to trust, because that's so much more comfortable than facing reality. And it's not just Trump. People do this with every single fucking politician and TV daddy in existence. Anytime they say anything, even sort of, maybe a little bit, kind of, you think this is a new phenomenon? You think that the right in this country has just been totally ineffectual and leading you on the scenic route to the slaughterhouse? But then just now recently, since Trump, you know, somehow because Trump, right? Now magically everything's changed. Now that there's even fewer of you. Now that your enemies have even more power, more money, more institutions, hold more public offices, or CEOs at more companies, Now it's different. He has to say that. He has to say that. But he knows. Oh, I think he knows. You cannot, look, if you're one of these people that is clinging to the idea that there's some kind of political solution to this problem, you cannot accept politicians that won't even say, they won't even say white people. Let alone white genocide. They can't even say, just say white people. Someone that's too afraid to even mention you as a group is not going to be able to withstand what it would take to actually stand up for you. Well, he could never be elected if he said white people. Well, then you're fucked. You just admitted that you're fucked. If you live in a country where you can't even say white people and still get elected, how is there a political solution? Answer me that. If you can't even say the words white people and still get elected, if the country is that anti-white, and by the way, it is, how in the living fuck are you going to vote your way out of that? You just admitted that you can't. Why would you vote for people who are exactly like your enemy? They're just wearing a different colored jersey. They go to the same fucking parties. They hang out. They rub elbows. They exchange fucking jokes over cocktails. It's like pro wrestling. That's all politics is. It's like pro wrestling. You think pro wrestlers, like all those feuds and shit, like that's real? Were you one of the kids that thought wrestling was real? I'm starting to think a lot of people were and still are. So why do I say then, all right, get out of the city, right? Why do I say that? Look, one of the things that made America unique wasn't just that, oh, it's white people. Right? There's white people all over the place. Americans aren't the same as the places with other places with white people. It's not like white people are just some monolith, right? What made America unique was the selection event that took place when people left their homes behind and risked, in many times, their lives just to come here. The land of opportunity 400 years ago was a wilderness. It wasn't strip malls and welfare and free education and free health care. It was an endless forest filled with dangerous animals and tribes and disease. That was the land of opportunity. And the kinds of people that saw that as an opportunity were a very specific kind of people with specific traits that were selected for. Right? Now, as America became just another place with money, with resources to steal, that changed. And what we're seeing now, what we're living through right now, is what happens when that changes. The kinds of people coming in now are not the kinds of people that would show up if the opportunity was a dangerous wilderness. If the opportunity was, yeah, just go out into those trees and, like, I don't know, make something. Because they could do that where they live right now. You think South America? You think there's not jungles south of the border? You don't think there's wilderness? That's not why they're coming now. And that applies to the white people that have come in recent years too. And so when I say, get out of the cities, really what I'm talking about is engineering another selection event. Because I know not everyone's going to want to do that. It's too easy to stay in the city. It's too easy to stay comfortable in the city. Going out and trying to make something in the wilderness, that's not as fun as just sitting around and playing fucking video games high as a kite all day. Because of how long these events in history take, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, you're not going to live, most likely, to see a resolution to the problem we're in right now. So the best you can do is start laying down the groundwork for future generations. Because someone's got to be the ones that do that. I mean, just like the people, you might fantasize about that. You might romanticize like being a settler, being a pioneer, right? Like, oh, that'd be so great going across the plains, you know, no one around, you know, it's just all nature. And yeah, as like half your family dies of fucking dysentery and shit like that. Like, it wasn't easy. I've talked to you about I think it was my great-great-grandfather. I forget how many greats. Reading his journal, and he's talking about his kids dropping dead left and right. Like it's no big deal, because that just happened at, you know, that time. It wasn't easy. Probably would have been easier to stay in the city. Not everyone was fleeing persecution. A lot of people were saying, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to get out of here and try to make something of myself, and it sucks, and I might die. And a lot of them died. Which was honestly, that was all part of the selection event. Because now, instead of selecting for the people that have the mental fortitude to want to go do something like that, the people that couldn't make it happen kind of got clipped out of the gene pool. So when I say get out of the cities, I am trying to engineer another selection event. So by all fucking means, all of you weak faggots that want to stay in the city, fucking stay. Fucking stay. Oh, yeah, stay there. You'll be just fine, I promise. Trimming the fat. I just don't see what's so fucking hard about this. It's so frustrating. I don't see why this is so... Well, I guess the answer is it is comfort. To a lot of these people, it's not real to them. Still. And it won't be real to them. Most problems aren't, you know, until they happen. Most people don't prepare for lots of the tragedies and adversity that they end up having to deal with in their lives. It's usually something you weren't preparing for. It's usually something you didn't think would happen to you. You know, you'd heard of it. But you never thought it would happen to you. No one ever thinks it's going to happen to them. And because there's enough easy to access entertainment and distraction, it's easy to just put it in the back of your mind. It's easy to outsource what you perceive as threats, you know, the handling of these threats to politicians who you delude yourself into believing will actually face the problem. They're not even strong enough to tell you about. They're not even courageous enough to mention. But because you would rather live in delusion, you know, convince yourself that either it's not happening, or if it is, you know, there's, you know, QAnon. There's a secret team of patriots behind the scenes arresting the pedos. Just keep showing up at the polls. Just keep sending us your money. And by the way, you will never, if you're convinced that there's still some kind of political solution to this, you will never get the candidate that you want so long as you keep supporting the people that are secret. They secretly are on our side. They just can't say it. You just can't say that and still get elected. Oh, he knows. You'll never get the politician with balls so long as you play that fucking game and put your support behind people without requiring anything from them. Because, yeah, there is a cost associated to it. I'm not saying there's no cost. I'm just saying the cost is worth it. But it's not worth it to a politician. That why undertake that cost if no one's going to hold your feet to the fire? They're still going to show up and vote because they think you're secretly based. You're using some kind of 4D chess. Imagine how fucking funny the Trump people must have thought QAnon was. Imagine the laughs they got out of that shit. Out of those memes. And that, you know, they knew Trump was retweeting QAnon accounts randomly. Not so randomly, but you know what I mean. When asked about it, he would either dodge the question in a very political way, or dance around it. He knew. He knew in the same way that all of these secretly based politicians, they know. They know the game they have to play. In the same way that Trump knew he couldn't disavow QAnon, but he also couldn't put his support behind it. So he had to ride this little weird fucking fine line and keep it as ambiguously as possible to maintain this idea that, oh, no, he's secretly going to do it. While at the same time, the people who knew it was bullshit knew he wasn't actually confirming anything, right? So they couldn't nail him for that. That's the exact same fucking game that all these secretly based politicians and secretly based TV daddies, that's the same fucking game that they play. They'll dog whistle just enough, to where people that they know are very motivated because they feel the threat breathing down their neck. They feel a real existential threat. Can't get more motivated than that, or at least I should hope not. If you see someone drowning in the ocean, and you've got a life raft, or a little one of those little round lifesaver things, not the candy, you can probably get that guy in the ocean to promise whatever you want. If you just throw me the fucking thing. I'm drowning here. All right, but you have to show up at the polls. You promise you're going to show up at the polls? They got you by the balls. What? In fact, why would they want to solve your problem? That's a great position to be in. Wow, we got these guys by the balls. In a fucked up way, they want to stretch out this existential threat as long as possible. They can't even say, they can't even fucking say white people. I just, that blows my mind. It's not even, look, it's not even like they can't say white genocide, which is also, I mean, look, you shouldn't be putting your support behind anyone who can't just say what it is. And if you say, oh, well, they could never get elected if they talked about that. Okay. Then you're fucked, first of all. And second of all, why would you support the people who aren't going to solve the problem? Maybe they're the ones that should never, that could never get elected. Maybe that says something more about you, that that they could never get elected if they actually said the problem. What kind of powerless, weak group are you? It should be the other way around. They could never be get elected if they don't fucking say it. And if that's not the reality, how the fuck do you ever plan on voting your way out of that problem? If you don't have the ability to do that. Two 2% of the population has managed to find a way to get whatever the fuck they want. With carrots and sticks. Are they superior? Are they better than you? Are you not up for that challenge? You don't want to play that game? You think that game's too dirty? You don't want to get your hands dirty? I don't want to lower myself to that level. Well, then you'll lose to the people that will. Yeah, but we don't have any money. We don't have the funding. Really? White people don't have any money? Or white people prefer to spend their money on things that don't help white people. And again, if that's the case, why is that? Does that go back to the whole social cost thing? There's no social cost for not putting your support behind ethnocentric goals. And there should be. Apparently, social costs, that's what motivates white people. The fear of imposed social costs. All right, well then you need to start imposing social costs. Guarantee you, most people listening, you have some leftist anti-white friend that you tolerate. Why? Would they tolerate you if you revealed your power level, as they say? Are you too much of a pussy to even do that? I bet your crazy leftist friend's not afraid to say what he said, what he thinks. Because he knows you're not going to impose any social costs. You're still going to be his friend. Because that makes you a bigger man, doesn't it, right? Does it feel good being the bigger man? How virtuous of you. So impressive. The way that you can tolerate the diversity of thought You got to play the game. And look, I get it. A lot of you guys have no idea how it's even fucking played. I'm still trying to figure it out. And I'm trying to tell people as I figure it out. I'm trying to, because yeah, we're not wired to think this way. We're not. We're wired to be doers. We're not subverters by nature. We're not manipulators by nature. I get it. But them's the rules. The rules don't care if you like the rules or not. It's still the rules. And in an all-white society where everyone is uncomfortable with manipulating, and everyone, or you know, to a large degree, everyone has the same hesitance to control others, where everyone has the trait of rugged individualism, right? Your lack of these instincts it's not a problem, because everyone's like that. You don't live in a society like that anymore. And you haven't for a long time. And people that do think like that have moved in. And they've taken advantage of your weakness. So you can either respond and grow. Respond to the pressures being applied. And evolve. Or you will go extinct. That's how nature works. That's the two possible outcomes. You either change in a way that makes you able to survive in the new environment. You either adapt to the environment or you die. That's it. That's it. Look, and your adaptation could be to change the environment. Often that's what white people have done to survive. Right? Not a whole lot of ways to functionally do that. I mean, you can leave the cities and you can create your own communities, and that's one way that you can maintain a continuity of your people. But even if you do that, you're still going to have to learn how to play the game. But it might be too late for you. You might be in a John Connor situation. Now, what do I mean by a John Connor situation? I'm pretty sure most of you guys have watched Terminator, right? The first one. It's actually an excellent film. It's a movie I would like to do a whole thing on. Because while the metaphor that I see in that film now probably had nothing, is not in the minds of the creators at all, it still works. Right now, you've got a machine trying to hunt you down and kill you and stop you from reproducing, because the children that you will have will someday in the future rise up and defeat the machine. It's a John Connor situation right now. You've got a Terminator that'll stop at fucking nothing to stop you. Who, they're not afraid of you personally. The power imbalance between you and the machine is so vast that you do not pose a threat at all to the machine. It's not afraid of you. It's afraid of what you'll give birth to. Sarah Connor, she was just a fucking normie. She didn't even know there was a danger. She was just going through her normie fucking life. She had like a degenerate roommate. She went to parties. She thought everything was fine. Until she realized there was a machine trying to kill her. And then Sarah Connor started to see visions of the future, what the future was going to be like. And why this machine was trying to kill her. And so what did she do? She decided she had to sacrifice her normie-ass life. Sacrifice the comforts of a normal life. To make sure she raised her kid to be prepared to destroy the machine. And the institutions went after her. They locked her up. Her son didn't even, you know, thought she was crazy. But she dedicated her life with a single-minded focus on preparing her son to be able to defeat the machines. And that's the situation that we're in right now. The machine isn't afraid of you, clearly. They're afraid that in the future, you will defeat them. And they need to stop you now. While you're still weak and pathetic. And look, there's just a lot of people that are just not up for the challenge. And it's not easy. I mean, fuck. Especially if you want to, you know, just be literal with this for a minute and talk about, you know, having the kids and stuff. I mean, look, I mean, just, for fuck's sakes, look at this. This is blackpilling.
Oh my God, guys, I'm freaking out. What am I going to do? Just kidding, I already scheduled the appointment.
I am what conservatives fear!
The utter state of white women right now. So if you want to take it literally as far as actually giving birth to John Connor, that part in and of itself is a little difficult. But that's why it's difficult. They need to stop John Connor from being born. Because that's who they're really afraid of. Imagine how effective you would be, especially if you're older. Let's say you're older than, if you're just older than, like, say, 25. And let's say that you've only just woken up to the presence of the Terminator in the last few years. And you've had to unlearn all this shit. All this normie shit that was programmed in your brain. Up until you met the Terminator. And even after you met the Terminator, it took a while, right? For you to come to terms with the fact that, wait, hold on, this is real. There's this robot from the future. I mean, obviously, not literally, but, to keep the Sarah Connor thing going on. There's this robot from the future that's trying to prevent me from having John Connor. And there's like a Skynet thing that's going to happen and destroy the world. And what? And of course, if you tell anyone that, everyone thinks you're fucking crazy. Imagine if you had just already known all this shit from the beginning. Imagine if you didn't have to erase all of that fucking boomer programming, all that fucking propaganda, whether it was from public education, colleges, movies, music, TV, church. Imagine if you didn't have to go through and just essentially rewrite your operating system. Imagine if you had just started out already knowing the truth about the world from the beginning. How many of your decisions over your lifetime would have been 100% different? What would your priorities have been like then? You see, the ruling class, they don't have to do what you and I have had to do. They don't have to learn a complete bullshit version of reality, live in a delusion for the first half of their life, and then if they're smart and inquisitive and curious about the world and dedicated, they find out about how much of a lie the world is, then they have to, on their own, the ruling class doesn't have to do all that shit. They know what the world's like. They're taught from an early age. They're the ones inventing the lies. So growing up, whether it's them as children or them raising their children, the decisions that they're making, the priorities, are in tune with reality and not some fantasy land version of reality. That, in and of itself, is a huge advantage. Yeah, just, if we want to take the Terminator thing again, imagine if Sarah Connor had been raised to know that the Terminator was going to come and try to kill her on that day. It would have been a short movie, right? Anyway. I hope this makes sense to you guys. I hope this makes sense. And look, I get it. Like I said, it's not, look, we won the lottery in some ways when it comes to where in history you're born. I mean, there's way shittier times we could have been born. Way shittier times. It honestly, if you really think about it, it's not that bad. And that's the other thing too, is when people think like, oh, you're so black-pilled, you must just curl up in a ball and cry all day long. It's not that bad. The only reason why I it's frustrating is because everyone's having a hard time apparently coming to terms with some of this stuff. And so it does drive you a little nuts seeing people that don't get it, right? And you're just screaming, saying like, you know, watch out for the danger. And there's so many of these people that act as though it's not there. So that's frustrating. But it could be way worse. This isn't a problem without a solution. It's just a problem without a conventional solution. And you're going to have to get comfortable with manipulating people. And you're going to have to get comfortable with the idea that, yeah, you're not going to just red pill the normies and they're all going to just figure it out. They're not. And some of them, look, they're going to be fodder. It is what it is. And they should be fodder, honestly. It's how natural selection works. They should be selected out. But you need to start using the weapon of social pressure wherever you can. Because apparently that's what people respond to. And one of the reasons why we're in this position is no one's using that as a weapon. Because they're afraid to. Look, the people that are afraid to, they're going to be selected out too. Good riddance, honestly. That's not going to help us out. We kind of want that trait to go bye-bye. So, anyway, let me take a look at chat here. See what you guys are talking about over here. I have decided that anyone who refuses to see what's going on after all of this is worthless and more dangerous than the enemy. Yeah, I mean, they are. And look, you should try a little bit to get them to see it, but, you know, you're not going to be able to convince everyone. And some people just aren't. And like I said, you shouldn't. It's not like you should just mourn their loss. You need to be aggressive. You need to shame them. You need to make them feel the pain of not conforming. You need to be the social pressure. Again, it's carrot and stick. You need to use them stick. Right now, it's your side that's afraid to say what they mean because they're afraid of the stick. They're afraid of the social stick. You need to make your friends who aren't based or whatever, you need to make them afraid of the stick. You need to make it socially unacceptable to not be on our side. If you're in a social circle where that's not the case, you're in the wrong goddamn social circle. And some of that's your fault. Because you've allowed it to happen. Let's see here. Is the Terminator based? I mean, I don't know if it's based. I honestly, I haven't watched it in a really long time, but, you know, I know the storyline, and it's a good metaphor for what we're talking about. And I really doubt that that's, that's the metaphor they had in mind. That's one thing that drives me crazy. I see some people that when they go through, they do like movie reviews or whatever, they'll come up with these metaphors, and it's like, yeah, I mean, but that's not at all what the movie was about, you know. And I don't mean that, like, oh, you know, art is in the eye of the beholder kind of a thing where it's just, you know, it's like if you look at a no, I mean, a lot of these movies, you have to take the time they came out and the audience they were meant for. You have to take that all into account. You can't just be like, you know, like, for example, if I did a video on Terminator, I wouldn't be saying that that's what the filmmakers intended, like, at all, because it wasn't. But it's still a good metaphor. The cities will be a selection event to those of us currently stuck. Only the strong of us will survive in cities against the coming tide. We will slow them down for you. Yeah, but like I said, try to get out. Like, or if you can't, I mean, look, if you, I don't know. I don't want to tell people what to do in terms of, because life's complicated. I understand that. There's lots of whatever, but you need to understand the importance of what I'm talking about. Right? You need to understand the importance that we start creating communities. No one's going to do it for you. And by the way, there are people doing this. There are communities that are sprouting up organically. You know, a lot of people talk, well, I don't want to talk specifically about all of them because, you know, whatever, but well, just, you know, vaguely speaking, there's, you know, like Idaho, for example, there's lots of people moving there. There's like the Greater Idaho Project or whatever. There's stuff happening. And it needs to happen. And so I'm just pushing people to go in that direction. And it's not easy. Look, it's not easy. And not everyone's going to succeed that tries this. I might not even succeed out here. I don't know. Not all the settlers that came to America succeeded. Not all of them survived on the boat ride on the way here. Let alone on the walk through the wilderness, over mountains, cross plains. A lot of those fuckers didn't live. I'm not telling you to do it because it's easy, or even because you'll succeed. You might not. Imagine a general telling his soldiers that you're all going to survive. This fight is worth fighting because all of you are going to come back safe. No. Not everyone's going to make it work. Not everyone's going to be successful. Doesn't mean it's not worth doing. And yeah, will you be safer if maybe you stay at home and don't fight? Sure, you will. And I guess if you don't have any principles, that's what you can do. You know, you can keep your mouth shut and try to be secretly based at work or whatever, right? And then when your children grow up, if you manage to have any, they'll look back at you the same way a lot of us look back at the boomers and say, why didn't you stop it? Well, I was afraid of losing my job. I didn't want my friends to be mad at me. I didn't want to get kicked out of school. You don't think that the boomers had a similar excuse? What were the social pressures during the 60s? There are some sacrifices a lot of people are going to have to make if you want anything, any kind of future for your people. And you're not going to be able to enjoy a lot of that. You're just not. And for a lot of people, that means they're not going to try it and they're not going to do it. Okay. But if enough people think like that, then this isn't going to work. You're going to go extinct. Some people have to be willing to make some sacrifices, to take one for the team. But you lose. One of the reasons why that you don't see that happening a whole hell of a lot is what were you always told, people on the right? Collectivism is bad. Individualism is good. Well, that's been taken to its logical conclusion, isn't it? Hasn't it? Because taking one for the team, that's collectivism. It's not individualism. How does that help you? Why would any individualist sacrifice themselves for the group? They wouldn't. That's insane. That's the opposite of individualism. Well, that's what you're having to work with right now. That's the headspace that a lot of the right is in. That's where that whole what people do in the privacy of their own home. That's kind of tame in comparison to this problem. You know, like it really will go to the extreme where white friends of theirs will be getting murdered. Well, it's not my kids that are getting murdered. You know what I mean? That's why there's never going to be like this awakening, or at least that's part of why. You need to learn, if you care about your group, then you need to do things to help your group. Caring about your group isn't enough. Liking white people isn't enough. Are you a spectator? Are you on the team? What helps a team win? Spectators or players? Now, you can say that having a crowd cheering adds some moral support. Okay, a little bit. But honestly, so does having a crowd jeering at you. So it's kind of irrelevant. What matters is the players. Don't be a fucking spectator. Don't hope that that your team will win. Get on the fucking field. Too many people, they want to be spectators. You know, like, again, I know it's a dead horse, but, you know, like the QAnon thing, right? The entire Q movement was spectators. I mean, they were exactly they were like sports fans. They were like extremist sports fans who would learn all these statistics about the players, get really involved with, you know, whatever stupid gossip about the personal lives of the players. Or actually, even worse, they were like I was talking about before, they're like pro wrestling fans. Because a lot of what they believed wasn't even like statistics and, you know, real life stuff. It was just made up bullshit. So they're like pro wrestling fans that get caught up in the fake storylines about their favorite wrestlers, believe all the fake drama that happens on the stage. But they're afraid to go in that fucking ring. Never in a million years would they go in that fucking ring. They want to leave it to the professionals. They're perfectly happy just buying popcorn and watching. In fact, that's what they would do, right? Like on Twitter, something would happen and they would even tweet out, "Oh, get your popcorn." That's right, spectators, line up and watch the show. That's the other thing they would say. They would literally say, "Enjoy the show." Enjoy the show. Fucking spectators. Don't be an audience member just staring at a fucking applause light waiting for it to light up. You're better than that. Not all of you. But some of you, you're better than that. All right, let's take a look here. Am I going to cover Blue's Clues? Well, it was on my Telegram. I guess I could play that for you guys. Yeah, for those of you not knowing what that guy's talking about, this was posted on my Telegram. I said the downloader real quick. I posted it from my phone. Where'd it go? There we go. I think this is it. I hate when I download stuff from Telegram, there's no like progress bar telling you that you downloaded it. Is this it? No, it's still downloading. I don't know how long this is going to take. But yeah, Blue's Clues. It's a children's show. Now, I've never seen it, but I remember my little brother used to really like it. He had lots of Blue's Clues merchandising. And all I remember about it was a blue dog, apparently named Blue. And I guess he had clues. Like, I don't know. I vaguely remember my little brother watching that shit. And they've come out full global homo. And if this video ever downloads in 1,000 years, I'll be able to play it for you. All right, let me try this again. Yeah, it's not wanting to download. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'll have to go to my Telegram if you want to watch it. My internet's too ghetto to download my own videos, apparently. It's supposedly downloading. It's Telegram doesn't give you a progress bar, at least not one that's obvious. So it's impossible for me to even know if it's still downloading. But long story short is Blue's Clues has gone the way of everything else. But that's the thing is, look, that's the norm now. That's what the social pressure. That should tell you about the power dynamic. That's who is able to wield the social pressure required to get what they want. They're not afraid of you protesting this. It's not going to change anything. Because you don't use carrots and you don't use sticks. And that's just going to be increasingly the case. It's going to, like, okay, here's another thing that's, actually this isn't on my Telegram. I got this from Morgoth's Telegram. Or it was someone's, I forget who. All right, so there's something you got to take a look at. I hate the way they use images in this thing. Okay. Now I want you to take a look at this graph here. I'm going to have to move it somewhere I can see it. Driving population growth. Projected number of people added to U.S. population by natural increase and net international migration. Isn't that a funny name for it? Natural increase? I would say some of this is an unnatural increase, but be that as it may, in 2017, natural increase, let's see, I guess they define it here. Natural increase is the number of people born into the population after subtracting the number of people who have died. Okay, well now we know what they mean by that. So what this graph is showing is total population increase. And how much of that, what percentage of that is driven by birth rates, and how much of that is driven by immigration in the United States. So look, this includes, you know, non-white Americans too. You know, this isn't just specific to natural increase from white Americans. This is just Americans, you know, American citizens. And this is going to be the increase in millions over the next 40 years or so. 2017, in millions, the natural increase was 1.4. The international migration, and where do you think these people are coming from, was 1 million. So that means in 2017, the population increase in America was only, the population increase caused by people being born was not even 1.5 times as high as the increase caused by people coming from, let's face it, mostly the third world. 2020, 1.3 million, 1 million. So about the same, but the natural increase, the birth rate is shrinking. And again, that's all people. Imagine if this graph was limited just to white birth rates. In 2030, you'll have immigration surpassing the new people being born. So now imagine what that means for your children. That means in classrooms, in every classroom, like the average classroom, not just like certain parts of the country, there will be more foreign students in the classrooms than native students by 2030. And we're pretty much almost already there. 1.3 to 1 in 2020. In fact, we might be there right now. By 2040, there'll be twice as many foreign students in a classroom than native-born Americans. Now, what do you think that's going to do, not just for the quality of life for your children, not just the education that they're going to, because look, when I was in elementary school, I went to a very diverse elementary school when I was in Normie school. I started out in Normie school, and then they brought me to some weird gate school. But in the Normie school, it was very diverse. And in fact, there was, it was like a UN. Like it was, I'm trying to think, it was probably like 30% white. And then it was, there was a plethora of just random people, and they all spoke different languages. There was like, six different kinds of Asians, and they all spoke, like there was like Cambodian, Vietnamese, Chinese, the Japanese. So they all had like different problems with the language. You had a bunch of different Latin kids. You had Mexicans, you had Puerto Ricans. It was a very diverse classroom. And it was many years ago, so I don't have like a great recollection of that class. And there's certain memories, right, that stick with you. And one of those memories was the teacher was overwhelmed with all these kids that didn't speak English, couldn't keep up. And because she thought I was one of the smart kids, she gave me kids to teach. I still remember her name was Lupe. I just remember thinking it was a stupid name. And Lupe's having trouble with math. You think you can help her out? And then I forget the other kid. It was some other brown kid. I don't remember his name. I remember he played tennis. And so the education for the white kid suffers necessarily. It has to. Because the classroom can only go as fast as its slowest student. And then that translates into, there was a story we talked about just a few streams ago, how they're dropping the ACT and SAT in California. Because they have to. Because if they didn't, they'd pretty much only be accepting white and Asian kids. So they had to get rid of that for equity purposes. So yeah, well, that sucks. The butterfly effect, right? What do you think that means long term for the primacy of the United States in the world right now? Because right now, the world, we're living under United States primacy. No other country has bases around the world in the way that we do. We are, in some ways, like the Roman Empire. It's just, it's different on the books, right? Looks a little different officially, but it's pretty much the American Empire. What we say goes for the most part. You know, we control the rest of the world either through military might or through foreign aid or what have you. A lot of this global homo shit that's being pushed on third world countries is coming from America. And it's being pushed there through the, it's being forced to their elites are being forced to either accept that or not get their foreign aid. And because their elites are just as shitbag as ours, they're going for it. See that video? Is it still not fucking downloaded? Jesus Christ. Yeah, it just doesn't want to fucking download. I feel like I could have got it from somewhere else by now. Let me look and see if I can find it on Twitter or something like that. Yeah, I just found it somewhere else. I'm going to see if I can just play it for you guys. But yeah, this global homo shit, that's being enforced on the rest of the world by the American Empire. So in some ways, I guess it'll be good if that kind of falls apart, right? If our stranglehold on the rest of the world kind of disintegrates. It won't be the worst thing that could ever happen, right? Oh yeah, see, I just downloaded way faster. Oh, I spoke too soon. Fucking internet. It's the worst. Anyway. The other thing that's coming from the United States, though, is this anti-white shit. You know, the virus of global homo might be spreading because America is a super spreader. But this anti-white shit is spreading just as much. There used to be a time where Americans weren't just safe in other countries. And maybe that, you know, there's a little bit of difference in European countries and stuff like that, but people loved Americans. Loved Americans. And even in Europe after World War II. People loved white people. The world, it's not just that we're going to be endangered in our own countries. I mean, the world's going to become a dangerous place. All right, finally fucking downloaded. Jesus. All right, so here's what Blue's Clues is pushing.
Hey, Blue! Hi, families. It's time for a pride parade. Families marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. This family has two mommies. They love each other so proudly. And they all go marching in the big parade. Families marching two by two, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching two by two, hurrah, hurrah. This family has two daddies. They love each other so proudly. And they all go marching in the big parade. Come on, friends. Families marching three by three, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching three by three, hurrah, hurrah. These papas are non-binary. They love each other so proudly. And they all go marching in the big parade. Hooray! Families marching four by four, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching four by four, hurrah, hurrah. Trans members of this family all love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big parade. Come join the fun! Families marching five by five, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching five by five, hurrah, hurrah. People choose their family. They love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big parade. Families marching six by six, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching six by six, hurrah, hurrah. Eight by and pan grown-ups, you see, can love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big parade. Oh yeah! Families marching seven by seven, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching seven by seven, hurrah, hurrah. All families are made differently. They love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big parade. Families marching eight by eight, hurrah.
So anyway, you get the idea. And it doesn't matter because it cuts off because Twitter only lasts 2 minutes and 20 seconds. So it cuts off there anyway. So maybe it got worse. Maybe they started talking about loving Satan or something like that. Someone in chat said we're at war. No, dude, the war is over. This is what I'm trying to tell you guys. This is post-war. This is Reconstruction. This is how the South felt after being defeated by the Yankees. You don't have a say anymore. The war is over. You're being told that this is how it is now. This is just how it is. This is the America that if you join the army and you go fight overseas, you know, fight for our freedom or whatever, this is what you're fighting for. If you go die somewhere in some desert somewhere, this is what you were fighting for. And by the way, in a fucked up way, if you think about it, that guy screaming Allah Akbar that shot you in the head, this is kind of what he was fighting against. That's a little uncomfortable to think about, isn't it? Maybe we're the baddies. But yeah, we're not at a war. War's over. This is. If we were still at war, they wouldn't be able to play this. Because they would fear the consequences of playing this. There are no consequences. In fact, I guarantee you the marketing department sees this as kind of a win. You know, like, well, any press is good press. They've probably done the equation. Because look, I don't think a lot of you guys understand really the small proportion of the population you make up right now. Because the marketing people understand that, and they're not afraid at all. They're doing the equation, they're doing the math, and they're thinking to themselves, we'll probably lose some of those racist, fascist, you know, the white supremacists will stop watching our show, but we don't want them anyway. And as they get increasingly to platform, they're not going to be good consumers anyway, because they're not going to be able to afford, they're not going to have disposable income or whatever, or access to banks. So it's like, as a demo, if you're in the marketing department, that's probably like not exactly a top priority anymore. That used to be the big money one, right? Like the young white men, that was the money demographic. Not anymore. Not anymore. Young white men, that is not your target demographic when it comes to disposable income at all. So they're doing the equation and they're thinking to themselves, this is why the whole go woke, go broke thing's wrong. It's they're doing the math and they're saying, okay, we'll lose a couple of those people, but for every one that we lose, there's going to be some gay couple that will never stop, watching the show now. Now their kids are all going to watch it. The whatever kids they don't abort are going to be watching this shit. And the low IQ, stupid people that come to America, they're not going to fight against this. Or if they didn't want this, they wouldn't have showed up. I just noticed that goat has a peg leg. Oh, God. Yeah, so it's not a war. It's over. It's over. You're just, this is what happens when you lose a war. It's like in, when you conquer a people, this is what you get to do. If we had won, there'd be something, Blue's Clues would be totally different right now. It'd be the polar opposite of this. That's how you know you didn't win, though. So that was the Blue's Clues video that took forever to get. Did you guys see the dolphin in the paraplegic chair? No, I didn't see that. Although I don't believe in Nazi ideology, I believe we would be much better off if they had won the war. This shit would be happening, wouldn't be happening. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know exactly where we'd be, but, I could envision a timeline where that would have been better. The invisible hand of the market is just a conservative secular argument for God doing all the work so they don't need to. Well, that's the other thing too, is if you leave everything up to God, this is what you're going to get. I don't understand these Christians that think that they don't have to actually do anything, that just everything just works out the way God wants. If that was the case, then how do you explain like Sodom and Gomorrah and stuff like that in the Bible? Like, right? Like you believe in the Bible, all these Christians, right? And yet the Bible's full of all these stories where over and over and over again, the society turns to complete shit and God like destroys the society over. Like that seems to be like the reoccurring theme, right? And I guess these people just think that that's not their responsibility and somehow they'll be spared because they believed in Jesus or whatever. But, I've told this story a bunch of times, but it's like the story of the guy who he lives in a area that's flooding and the cops come up and say, hey, there's a flood coming. You got to go. And he's like, oh, I don't need to go. God's going to save me. And the cop's like, no, you got to go. And he's like, no, God's going to save me. And the cop's like, whatever, dude. And so he leaves. And then the water gets up to his waist. And someone in a boat pulls up and they're like, dude, get in the boat. We got to go. And he's like, nah, don't worry about it. God's going to save me. And they're like, all right. And they leave. And then the water gets up to his roof and he's on the roof. A helicopter comes and they're like, dude, get in the helicopter. And he's like, no, God's going to save me. So helicopter leaves. And then, you know, he drowns. And God's like, what the fuck's wrong with you, dude? And the guy's like, well, I thought you were going to save me. And he's like, I sent you the cop. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. Like, you got to do something, man. You got to do something. What are you expecting me to do? And that's describes, I think, a lot of these Christians. You know, a lot of these Christians that believed in QAnon and all, or some version of, you know, something like that. They're just very susceptible to this idea that everything's going to be taken. They're spectators. It goes back to that. They're just spectators. They think that, you know, someone's going to come and wipe their ass. Like, they want God to wipe their ass for them. That's really what it comes down to. Someone asks, is that a black power fist? Yeah, that's a black power fist and her little microphone. Yeah, God only helps those who help themselves. Yep. What would you do if they started printing propaganda about your new built community, calling it dangerous white supremacy group building a compound? It is what it is. You know, you can live in fear of that. Or so what? You know, like, so you just don't do anything? What are you going to do if they say bad things about you? You mean like they're doing now? You know, like, this is what I understand. It's just cowardly. There's just a lot of people that are afraid of taking one for the team. If that's how you go out, if you're not doing anything wrong, like, I'm not, look, by the way, nothing I've been saying about starting a community is has anything violent about it. I've never said, like, start a community of warriors and start training, you know, like, I've never said, like, start a terrorist training camp. In the, you know, like, I've just said start a community. And if you can't do that, look, I mean, look, if you start a community and they come and kill you, they come in, like, what do you want to say? That's like saying, what if they come right now and flashbang me and tackle me? You don't think that that's not a possibility? You don't think I think about that? Just doing what I do now is dangerous. You gotta take some risk, man. God's not going to wipe your ass. There's a whole lot of what ifs. There's always reasons to not do something. I can find a million reasons to not do it. But none of them outweigh the reasons to do it. And by the way, I don't even think that would happen. Like, you think the Amish, is that what's happening to the Amish? They have their own little communities, mostly white, if not all white. They're not Wacoing the Amish. And like I said, there's people already kind of doing this. There's parts of Idaho that are kind of like already like this. They're not Wacoing those people. This whole, like, oh, what if we get Waco'd? That just shows you how successful Waco was. And it shows you how cowardly white people are. They really are. Sorry. I mean, just, it's just true. Weak men create hard times. And if you just let that, if you let that to, you know, prevent you from, you know, just to paralyze you from doing anything. Oh, I have to be in the system because if I'm not in the system, they're going to Waco me. Come on. Like, then you weren't prepared to fight anything in the first place. You know, if you're going to let that scare you from starting a community, then okay, then you lost. You lost. Before the war even started, you've already surrendered. And honestly, you're just not cut out for that. If that's what you're worried about, don't try it, because you wouldn't be able to do it. You're not the kind of person that can do it. If that's and I'm just being honest, I'm not trying to be a dick. Like if that's what's, you know, stopping you from doing it, then yeah, don't do it. Because you're not cut out for that. You're not the kind of person that should be trying to do that. All right. Let me take a look here. Agreed, but would you actually address that issue? Just keep building? What issue? Bad press? Oh, they're saying that you're making an all-white community. Okay. What's the issue? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like this. Some people get worried about stuff that are hypotheticals that are never even going to do it. I remember when I was first writing movie scripts, and I talked to this Hollywood scriptwriter once. And it was at a film festival, and this guy walked up and was like, "Can you give me some pointers on my script?" And the guy's like, "Sure, you know, pitch it to me. Like, what is it?" And he's like, "Well, I don't want to tell you because I don't want to give the secret away." And the guy's like, "You're not ready to write a script then." And the guy got really pissed off and like stormed off. And I was like, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And he's like, if you think that your idea is so good and original that you have to like keep it a secret, or someone else is going to write your script for you real quick and like beat you to it or whatever, that you're not ready for this game. Like, because first of all, you're wrong. Like, that's, you know, if you can't even like, everyone pitches ideas and pitches scripts all the time. Right. But it also shows like how delusional you are, that your idea is so good. Like you've come up with free energy and you can't let the oil companies find out. You know, it's like, and also you misunderstand the process of like how hard it is to develop a script, get it to the point where it actually turns into a movie. Right. And there's so many people that are like that with what I'm talking about, where it's like they're worried about what happens if I successfully create this white community in the desert. And then it's like, and then you haven't even started and you're worried about like what happens if you've successfully done it. And then, dude, worry about the and then if you ever get to, like, you're talking like, you're thinking so many steps ahead. It's like saying like, "Man, I would go get that job, but I don't know what color my Learjet should be." And just, it's like, what? You don't know what color your private jet should be, so you're not going to go get the job? Because you're so convinced that if you get that job, it's going to lead to you having a private jet, and the big dilemma is going to be that you don't know what color it's going to. You're worried about shit that, like, if you get to that point where that's your problem, you're doing okay. If you make it to the point where your community is being attacked in the press, you won, man. Like, you're already okay. You're good to go. This is what I mean. I think people, they purposely overthink this shit so they convince themselves not to try. You're literally, you don't really care about what you would do in that situation. You're just trying to find reasons why you shouldn't do it. You're just trying to think of any excuse. "Oh, that's impossible, because if I did that, then this would happen." I hope I have that problem someday. You know, it's like, seriously, it's like Well, I would start my donut company, but I'm afraid of what Krispy Kreme will do. And once I've taken enough of their market share away from this, they start to get scared and try to do like a hostile takeover. It's like, you're fucking delusional, dude. Like, that's what's stopping you from making your fucking donut shop? All right. There is a political solution, just not a democratic solution. A lot of people don't understand the difference. If there was no political solution, then we might as well off ourselves. No, that's not true at all. There is no political solution. And the answer to that isn't offing yourself. That's what kind of stupid choice is that? The choice is either I can use the system to get what I want or I have to off myself. Wow, you sure think highly of this system. No, there is no political solution. In America, I don't know. Other places in the world, I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with the demographics and everything else of every little fucking place to just say some blanket statement. But I can tell you in America, just based on the demographic trends and everything else. And yeah, part of it is there's no democratic solution, obviously. But there's no any political solution. Because if you're saying that, oh, there's no democratic solution, but another solution would be, you know, like this fascist uprising. No, I guess nominally you could say it's a political solution, but it's not like there wouldn't be any shots fired in that scenario. And second of all, you can't, again, you're so outnumbered, it's not, you can't even do that. Anyone in America that thinks, look, I think there's a lack of understanding of how utterly outnumbered you are. And I don't know how you can't get it. Look what's on the screen. This is what your society is producing. This is the norm. That's how wildly out of step you are, your group is, with the norm. This right here isn't out of step with the norm. It's you. And that should tell you something about this society that you think you can change politically. You can't. And then the alternative isn't shooting yourself in the head. Let's see here. For any political movement, we will need billionaire funding. Well, it's just not going to work. People who commit suicide are fags. I'm glad Christianity teaches that people who commit suicide go to hell. Yeah, suicide's weak. I mean, there's some people, in a way, it's like if you're a drain, if you're just a liability, I mean, my feelings aren't going to be hurt. All of it, love it. We know that's what the media will do. We always keep moving forward. Just wanted your thoughts on how to prepare for the attack while building. I just, like I said, don't prepare for it. And just the thing is, if you go in with the mindset that you're going to be attacked, it could be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Nowhere have I said, like I said, I'm not saying build a fucking fortress or build like a compound or, you know what I mean? I'm saying build communities on purpose. I'm saying that you should build a community in the same way that like the Amish, it's not like, I'm sure the Amish are well fortified. I'm sure they're prepared in some way. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they have in terms of ways of defending themselves, but I'm sure they're not just sitting ducks, right? But they, no one's trying to Waco them because they're not posing a threat necessarily. They're just, they've created a closed society. And America, thankfully, is big enough where you could do that. And it doesn't mean they won't go after you. I'm just saying if you focus so much on that, you might become a self-fulfilling prophecy. It might drive you to be to do things that look aggressive from the outside, or you know, it makes you a hard target. You want to be you don't want to be a hard target. You don't want to be something that looks intimidating or looks scary from the outside, or you're going to invite that kind of shit. But if all you're doing is making a community, you know, and you're not sitting there talking about how, you know, the government's going to come get you or whatever, like, you'll be fine. I mean, I don't know, maybe you won't be fine, but look, it's the kind of thing, think of it this way. Anything that you would do to prepare for that isn't something you'd want to advertise. You know, play your cards close. What do you think about self-sufficient community that isn't explicitly pro-white but is accidentally pro-white? Well, I mean, I think you need to be at least internally explicit. I'm not saying you put big signs outside that, you know, that say whites only or something like that. But that should be, I mean, if that's what you're doing, you know, if you're making a pro-white or an all-white community, you kind of have to have that established. It can't just be like this thing, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what happened to the rest of the, like, in other words, why not just make a regular town if you don't care about the racial makeup of it? And look, I'm not saying maybe that's what you want to make, right? Maybe you just want to make a town, but if for those of you who want a white community, they don't really exist. And so the answer is, if you want that, you have to kind of make it. And if you make it, then you need to find ways of ensuring that it stays that way. And maybe one way to do that is you make it like the Amish. You make it like a religious thing, right? I've thought about that a lot, the religious angle. And I don't mean like starting my own religion, but I mean trying to, because there's different, there's even, the law even treats you differently, right? Like, you get different legal protections if you're religious. Like, there was that all-white pagan church that I think, what was it? They were in Oklahoma or something like that. I don't know whatever happened to that. Maybe I should look that into that and see how they were able to navigate or not, rather, navigate that. But that's something that needs to be explored. You know, maybe have a religious element to it. Because there are laws, right, that would prevent you from, you would have, I mean, that's the thing. If you own the land yourself, you can kind of decide who gets to be on it. But you can't not sell land. Well, I guess you can't. I don't know. There's some legal things if you try to start like an all-white community, right? So you can't be, like I said, you can't be putting up signs and advertising that that's what you're about. But there's ways you could accomplish it. I've been reading articles on demographics and fertility. The last decade, fertility has been rising among upper middle class white people, especially those that identify as conservative. Whites are below replacement in about half of the states in America right now. That's all whites. Let's see here. Outnumbered doesn't mean much. 15% united are enough to turn the country. No, it's not, dude. Good luck with that. I wish you luck. It's not. When people say that, they see, here's the thing. A lot of people like to say that because they look at, like, where they're getting this a lot of the times is they'll look at the American Revolution and see that only, like, it was like 15% of the people fought in the American Revolution. And here's something that you're totally not taking into account, first of all. You're not taking into account that in America at that time, there was no mass transit, there was no mass communication, there was no modern weaponry, there was no surveillance state. Okay, that alone, that's huge, all that stuff. But also, you had a pretty much homogeneous society in America at the time. All right? So you already had, it wasn't like you had 15% of, you know, of the population, which was all part of one group in a nation of like a bunch of groups that all hated that 15%. Okay? It was 15% of all the same group, genetically similar and related to each other in many cases. And again, you didn't have the surveillance state. You didn't, in fact, when things, you know, in terms of England, if there was a skirmish in England, it would take weeks for them to even find out about it because they're on the other side of the fucking ocean. But on the American side, they knew that day because they were there already. It's a totally different ball game. So when these people have these fantasies that 15% of the population could somehow overthrow the rest of the nation, you're insane. You're insane. You couldn't do it. And you know what? 15%, even if you could, you think you can round up 15%? You think you can get that many people to be on your side? You know what 15% of this country is? You know how many millions of people that is? Let's do the math. Let's find out how many people you would need fighting your fictional war here to get your 15%. I think we're at like 330 million right now. About that. So we're about 330 million. So let's do 300 Well, it's 328.2 million. So 328.2123. All right. Times 0.15. Okay. So you need 49 million people. You need 50 million people for your 15%. So even with your fantasy 15%, you need 50 million people. To fight this war. Which again would never. And how would you ask yourself this? Knowing now that you need, let's just say you need 10 million, which is ridiculous, but let's just say that's what you need. Somehow with 10 million people, you're going to overthrow the entire United States. You're going to have to organize, right? Like that's, you're going to have to build an organization, first of all, that's attracting these 10 million people and just connecting them, right? So first you have to come up with an organization that becomes 10 million strong. Good luck with that. I mean, there's nothing on the dissident right. If you could put them all together, you're not going to have 10 million people. We're not very many people. I'm telling you this now. I know there's a lot of people that because most of their online experience is kind of in echo chambers, they get this impression that there's a lot more of us than there really are. There's probably not 10 million of us in America. There's just not. But if you got, somehow you'd have to make this organization, you get the 10 million people, You get them all on the same page, at least somewhat, ideologically. Well, then, and now you got to organize 10 million people and mobilize them in a way that's going to effectively counter the whatever the military, you know, whatever the law enforcement gets involved, all the intelligence agencies. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's not as easy as you think. And as we've been watching, the military knows that these sorts of things might start popping up. And so what they're doing is they're purging the military of anyone who's not woke. And they're doing it at alarming speeds. And I think part of the why they're doing that is they don't want to wait around for maybe your 10 million people organization to start happening. They'd rather go after this before it becomes a problem. And that's going to involve military enforcement to carry out those operations against anyone that would be part of this 10 million. And so they need to get rid of anyone who might be sympathetic to that now. And they're doing that now. And pretty soon the military is going to look like this Blue's Clues cartoon. And they're just going to be, it's going to be, you know, rage-filled trannies just itching to fucking kill a Nazi. So that's just, like I said, that's just, that's fantasy land stuff. Now, I'm not saying there's not stuff you couldn't, I mean, there's stuff you could do, right? Hypothetically. But it's this idea that you're, oh, we're, all we need is, again, you're going back to the, all we need to do is red pill the normies. We're going to red pill the normies and then everyone's going to wake up. And no, it's never happened in all of history, ever. And you're not going to be the one that does it for the first time in human history. Especially given the huge power imbalance that we have right now. Huge. See, all these things, people hear this and they get mad. They just get mad. They get mad at me. Like, I'm the reason for all these things. No, I'm just pointing out the obvious. This is why I said that white pillars are white killers. Because all the people that ignore everything I just laid out for you and give people false hope are creating dangerous situations for these people. It's making you operate with bad information. This isn't something that that is as easy as it would be in a movie. Okay, let's take a look here. The church has plenty of newly reformed single moms. Oh, this is like, wait, what happened there? My chat got really, 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 really behind. I don't know how that even happened. Here we go. Other guy is correct. Whites are about replacement rate or slightly higher with those who identify as conservative. Regardless, this is what the demographic future of at least cities look like. I'll look at that. Like I said, last time I checked, about half the half the states in America, whites were below replacement. The founders control newspapers, the normie programming, or controlled the newspapers. Yeah, no, they did. They had the, look, this is before mass media. This is before. It's totally different now. Trying to use what any number really that worked for the Revolutionary War and trying to apply that to today is just, it's just completely, it's wildly out of touch with reality. We don't have anywhere near the numbers. You aren't going to even make a dent in a direct conflict against the system. The solution is forming high fertility communities that are self-sufficient and hopefully outlasting our enemies. We're breaking away. I mean, look, there's ways like long-term, it's not going to happen tomorrow. But if people did start to concentrate in certain areas, like, Idaho, is not, that's not where I'm going to go, but I know there's people going there. If something like that happened, where you had a concentration of people going there, maybe they would, you know, secede or something like that. I don't know. That seems unlikely to me, but that's a possibility. Just living within the larger community and just trying to be insulated from some of this stuff in the same way that the Amish are. You know, we're running out of options, really, is what it comes down to. If you want to preserve the kind of life that you that many of us talk about wanting to preserve, the things that we see as good about white culture and white communities and white heritage, that's the kind of life you want to preserve for future generations, you run out of options. And one of those options is building that yourself in such a way that there are protections in place to keep the other people out of it. And yeah, there's all kinds of risks involved with that, but there's risks involved with anything that's worth doing. Another way to do it, you could leave. You know, you could try to go to a country that's more white. You go to Eastern Europe. A lot of people have done that. People have gone to Ukraine and other countries in the hopes of running away from the problem. And I don't think that's a bad option. You know, I see people doing that and I can't really get mad at them. It's kind of what my ancestors did, right? When they came to America, you know, they left their homes for somewhere else. So, I mean, it's a little different, but I mean, you know, look, and it's something I've even thought about before, right? So there's that option, but it's just, you're running out of options is what I'm getting at. And the black pill is understanding that all these options that the white pillars are presenting for America, right? Like, it's totally different for other places. I'm assuming, I don't know, but for America, this idea that we're going to just turn it all around one day and MAGA, like that's bullshit. It's complete bullshit. America, as you know it, America, as you see it in the 1950s movies or even the 1980s movies, is gone and never coming back. And that's just, yeah, that's the black pill. You just have to realize that. That's fine. Again, nowhere did I say that you have to, and so therefore you shoot yourself in the head. But if you operate under the assumption that that's not true, then you're delusional. The reason the Amish are still all white is they're very rarely try to convert people, and the few times they do, they push converts to more mainstream Christianity instead of persuading them to go full Amish. There's some attractive things about adding a religious element to it. I've thought about that. Marry me for this sweet Polish passport. Maybe. No, just kidding. let's see here. All right, guys. I think I'm going to wrap it up. So, I have to... There's a lot of stuff I got to finish up and things that I've been trying to get into the works, like the second book, getting it out the door and stuff like that. It's going to require a lot of my time. Plus, I've got a bunch of deadlines this next week, and then I'm going to be out of town on business for like about a week coming up. So some of the insomnia streams, I might be able to do one from the road. That could be fun. But I might not be doing all three of them every week. So I'm just giving you a fair warning now. And I will try to get the, as long as I have some more breathing room with the streams and stuff, I will try to get to the chat server stuff. I know I keep saying that, but it's just... Like I said, I'm a little overwhelmed right now. It's been a little hectic over here where I'm just sleeping sporadically whenever I can, especially until I get these deadlines done. Usually when I start working on a project, if you've ever done anything creative, like for a living, you kind of have to work, or it's like when you're writing, it's the same sort of thing, right? Like you have to, like there's some things you can do without being inspired. Like I hate, it sounds a little faggy, but it's true. It's like, when you're doing stuff that's creative, sometimes you just get like writer's block or you get like a designer's block. I don't know what it would be called, but, so you kind of just, you're in a holding pattern and it's like, you just got to sit there and bang your head against the wall, trying to think of what to do with it. And then when the inspiration hits you, it's like, you got to ride that fucking lightning, you know, until it dries up. And so there's times when you start doing that and like I'll work and it'll be like 18 hours of work straight because it's just like, you know, I'm in the zone and I got to keep doing this until I can. And so you end up sleeping at weird times and everything else. And anyway, so I got like some deadlines where I got to finish a bunch of animations this week and some other stuff. And we'll have next Saturday for sure. I'll try to make that like the Saturday nights will be the, for sure we'll have it, but it might be sporadic on some of the other ones for the next couple of weeks, maybe for the next 2 months. But with the, at a time, I'll try to get the server going and get a website set up for the movie and stuff like that. I actually started digging into, I got to update blackpill.com. I actually started going through the WordPress crap on that and I haven't screwed with it, but I got to update that and my plate is full. My plate is very full. But anyway, appreciate you guys' support and hope you have a good rest of your day. For Blackpilled, I am, of course, Devin Stack.
Nigga! Come on, boy! Come on, nigga! Come on! Come on, nigga! Come on, up, fella. Well, you won't have to wait for me for a long, long time. No, you won't. Going on holiday. Down to Cornwall. Rabbits. Rabbits, boy. Hey.
Come on, Skipper. You'll miss the bus.
Okay. Come on, nigga. Come on, boy. You wait there, old boy. Stay there. Come on, nigga. Stay there, nigga. Stay there, boy.
Oh, you know most of the chaps, I think.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Hoppy. Hello, Shannon.
I found nigger outside. Can I stand him a beer?
Yes, providing you don't give him more than a pint.
Right.
And don't drink it too quickly or you'll get hiccups.
Come in. Group captain's asking for you, sir. He's waiting outside.
Sorry, old boy. It's secret. You can't go in. Now, come on, hop it. Hello, nigger, old boy. What are you doing? Who are you looking for, eh? He's not in his office. You'd better try somewhere else. Go on. Where you go? Come on. Hello, nigger. No, not near, old boy. Go on. Hello, nigger, old boy. What you doing around here? Now, get these code words off by heart. Goner is the word for the explosion of a bomb in the right place. Nigger is the code word for a breach in the Mona Dam. And dinghy for a breach in the Ada.
You want me, Crosby?
I'm sorry, sir. It's Nigger. He's been run over. He's dead. The car didn't even stop.
Where did it happen?
Outside the main gate. He ran across the road, sir, and the car hit him.
Where is he?
In the guard room, sir.
I see. Blight.
Sir.
Just a minute. You know that Nigger was killed this afternoon?
Yes, sir. I'm very sorry, sir.
Will you do something for me? I'd like you to bury him at midnight on the grass perch outside my office.
Very good, sir.
I'd like you to do it then, just about the time we're going into the job over there.
I see it's done, sir.
Hello, Hoppy. Tonight's the night. Tomorrow we'll have a party.